This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters, a statement that when one of us makes changes his entire life, changes his priorities, changes his commitment. That statement many of us are blessed to be born with, and many of us are blessed to realize that statement after our birth, and sometimes years after our birth. And that statement, we repeat it many times throughout, but perhaps sometimes we need a reminder about what impact it has on us and what it really, really means in our day-to-day lives. And that statement is none other than La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no one who deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. And this afternoon, brothers and sisters, I wanted to focus just a little bit on the first part of this statement. That again, some of us may have said it years after our birth when we reverted to Islam, and for some, we were born with that statement in our families. Brothers and sisters, if you look at this statement from a purely grammatical point of view, if you notice, this statement has a structure where there is a negation followed by an affirmation. And for those of us who understand the Arabic language well, we know the impact, the power of that statement, where Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He says La ilaha, which is the negation part, Jesus said, or when we say La ilaha illallah, La ilaha is the negation part where we're negating the existence, the presence, the value of any other God, any God, a pure negation. And then it follows with an affirmation, except Allah Azza wa Jalla. And when you have this structure in Arabic language where there is a negation followed by an affirmation, the core meaning behind this structure is exclusivity. Exclusivity. That there is absolutely no other God, absolutely no other God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is key, brothers and sisters, to understand that exclusive nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the God, being the one who deserves to be worshipped. And you see, brothers and sisters, it is no coincidence that that same type of a statement which gives the meaning of exclusivity, we repeat it at least 17 times a day if we just pray our fard salah, where we say Iyyaka na'bud. And again, from an Arabic grammar standpoint, if you were to say na'buduka, technically it means something similar, which is we worship you. Na'budu is a verb, ka is the object, we worship you. But no, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, Iyaka na'bud, you we worship. And again in Arabic language, when you change the structure like this, it gives the sense of exclusivity that Ya Allah, we only worship you, none other than you. You are our top and first priority, none other than you, Ya Allah. And again, it is no coincidence that we are asked to repeat another statement which gives the same meaning more than 90 times a day, even if we just pray our fard. And that statement that we make 90 times a day is Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal is the greatest. Again, the meaning of exclusivity that Ya Allah, you are the greatest. You are the most important thing in my life. You are the top priority. That's the meaning that we are supposed to get from this. So that when we talk for Allah. When we walk for Allah. When we eat for Allah. When we drink for Allah. When we sleep for Allah. When we are private, in the most private of our moments, we do that for Allah. When we make a decision, when we choose a career, we choose a career for Allah. When we choose a business, we choose a business for Allah. When we invest for Allah. When we marry for Allah. That's the idea. That's the idea. And that idea again is shown to us in the Quran where Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That say that my salah and my worship and my life and my death are all for Allah رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, the Lord of the worlds. There's no partners with Him. لا شريك له. There's no partners with Him. That's the idea behind declaring, proclaiming that there is no one who deserves to be worshipped except Allah. So when it comes to love, we love Allah the most. When it comes to obedience, we obey Allah the most. When it comes to pleasing someone, we want to please Allah the most. That's the idea. And that principle has to sink in deep down in our hearts. So it manifests itself in all of our actions, in our day-to-day lives. Not just in the masjid, but even at work, even at home, even in the car, even in the plane, on the train, wherever we are, that principle manifests itself. That we do things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now brothers and sisters, when you look at the word ilah, God, of course, in this context, we understand that, you know, there is no God, there's no deity who deserves to be worshipped except Allah. He is our priority. But Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing us and how weak we are, He warned us in the Quran on different places, beware, don't take other things as your ilah, God. And now yes, one of us would say with full confidence, well, I don't have any other gods in my life because I don't do sajda to anybody. Back then, people used to prostrate to idols, even this day today. Back then people, and today even, people prostrate to the sun, to the moon, and so on and so forth. I don't do that. I don't have any ilah. Where ilah is not limited to just that. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, for example, tells us, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the one who takes his or her desires as their ilah? Well, how do you take your desire as an ilah? How do you bow, prostrate, make sajda, make dua to your desires? Well, when your desires become your first priority, more important than Allah, then in essence, you have taken your desires as your God. And it could be a very simple example. You got mad at somebody. And at that time, you know very well that you are supposed to be quiet, but you want to give them a piece of your mind. You want to put them in their place, let them know who is the boss here, who is in charge, who can talk better, and you go right ahead knowing you're not supposed to do it. You've just taken your desire of expressing your anger as an ilah. You know you're not supposed to be on those internet chat sites, chatting with the opposite gender on social media or watching, you know, some stuff on the internet that you're not supposed to be watching, but at that time, you really feel like doing it and you go ahead and do it. Well, you just taken your desires as your ilah. You just took your desires as an ilah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, ta'isa abdu dinar, ta'isa abdu dirham. Destroyed be the abd, the slave servant of the dinar. You know, we say Abdullah, the slave servant of Allah. He referred to those people as Abdul Dinar. In our world, what would we say? Abdul Dular, the slave servant of the dollar. Well, how do you become a slave servant of the dollar? How do you take that as a god that you are a abd of? Well, if that becomes your priority, then yes. So the next time you're at work, and yes, these days, the salah times are pretty short. They come, you know, pretty quickly. It's time for asr, and it's time for maghrib. You are at work, you have an important meeting, but it's time for salah. What do? Now, it could be that very important meeting with somebody who will get you that $1 million deal for your business. But at that time, you got to understand, you got to think, who is your ilah? Is it that dollar that you're going to earn, that $1 million that you're going to earn? Is that your ilah, or is your ilah is Allah Azza wa Jal? What's your priority? You're worried that your boss is going to fire you, and that's why you don't want to step out of the meeting to pray salah on time. And you say, you know what, I'll just pray Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, all combined together in the evening when I get back home so that I don't look weird. Well, if your job is dearer to you than Allah, that money is dearer to you than Allah, then well, there's a question mark on our realization of La ilaha illallah. There's a question mark about what we prefer more. You were asked to compromise on some of your values at work, and if you compromise on those values, things will look okay. But if you don't compromise, you will look the odd one. Whatever it may be it involving an interest, being interacting with the opposite gender in a way that is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. At that time, you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make to yourself, first and foremost, between you and Allah, as to who your real preference is, who your first priority is. And brothers and sisters, for those who have this straight, who have this priority straight, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promises them something amazing, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that whoever testifies, يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that there is no one who deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Of course, in its true form. In one of the narrations of the hadith, he says, صِدْقًا مِّن قَلْبِهِ, deep down, while being truthful to you from the bottom of his heart, وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and that I am the messenger of Allah. And he says, no one meets Allah having said this statement, غَيْرُ شَاكٍ Fihima, having absolutely no doubt in these two statements. Absolutely no doubt. Except that Allah Azza wa Jal will enter him into Jannah. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make all of us of those people. That we take this as our priority. That we put this as our compass in our lives when we are making decisions. And again, those could be any and all decisions in our lives, from the smallest of the decisions to the largest of the decisions, where we make Allah Akbar in our lives. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم واسترشدوه يرشدكم واستهدوه يهدكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Brothers and sisters, When we are surrounded with people in an environment that reminds us of La ilaha illallah all the time, you naturally find it easier to implement it in your life. And that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would always say, he used to say that a person is according to the ways of his close friends, highlighting the importance of the environment. And that applies to all of us, young and old, children, adults, teenagers, everybody. That the environment you are in has an impact on you. And when you are in that environment, that impact sometimes is so subtle that sometimes you don't even realize. Brothers and sisters, this afternoon, I wanted to share with you a few stories from where I work at Al Huda School, where I see, we testify every day, every single day, of the children who you can see La ilaha illallah in their lives, and sometimes they don't even realize that how Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed them so much that they're soaking up this information, this realization all the time. And Allah Azza wa Jal becomes their first priority. You know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was in my office, I was doing my work, and I hear a kid walking right outside my hallway, my office. So I quickly came out, and I saw this six-year-old child who truly was in his own world. And I'm sure you've seen children, if you have children or if you've seen other children, you know, sometimes they get into this mode where the only way you can express it is that they're in their own world. They have no clue what's going on. They are in this little bubble, little world where they're just happy, they're just chilling. So this boy was chilling and he is hopping and, you know, skipping and hopping in the hallway and just, you know. And at that time when the kids are in their own world, many times they will be saying stuff that they're used to saying or used to hearing. Many times kids who are glued to the TV, they will be saying some Disney songs, or they'll be humming some nursery rhymes, or maybe some other song that they have heard, they're humming that song, whatever it might be, they're humming, they're just saying stuff, clueless in their own world, very subconscious. You see, this kid was not humming a nursery rhyme, nor was he humming a Disney song or some other song. You know what he was humming? أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي فَاغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. I acknowledge, I realize your blessing upon me, O Allah, and I acknowledge my shortcoming, my sins. So please forgive me, because there is no one who can forgive except you. This is part of the dua, which is called Sayyidul Istighfar, the master of all supplications of du'as, to make to Allah to ask for forgiveness. This is one of the best du'as to ask for forgiveness. And this child, he was saying this du'a in his own world. Why? Because this is what he hears every morning at the school. This is what he hears on the speakers, in the classroom, everywhere. This becomes the thing that he is consumed with. This is the thing that he is preoccupied with. This is what's on his mind. This is the first thing that comes out of his tongue when he is in his own world, subconsciously. You see, La ilaha illallah, when Allah becomes a priority. A few days before then, I walked into the musalla, and it was early in the morning at 7:45. The school hasn't started. There's only a few kids around. It's dark. Nobody's in the musalla. It's dark, and I see a 10-year-old quietly, calmly, with full, what seemed to be very much focused, concentrated, praying in the dark. And I stood there for a minute and I saw him, and he took his time in finishing up his last sitting, and he finishes whatever he's praying as he's getting up, getting ready to leave. I say salam to him and I tell him, young man, what were you praying? And in my mind, I'm thinking that maybe he didn't pray the Fajr. And you know, sometimes it happens that, you know, a child doesn't pray Fajr
And, you know, for those who try to keep up with it, they'll go and pray Fajr later. So I asked him, so what were you praying? And he said, I was making up the sunnah of Fajr because I couldn't pray it at that time. And I know that sunnah of Fajr is better than the world and what's in it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said that the two rak'ahs before Fajr are better than the world and what's in it. And this 10-year-old is doing it quietly on his own. You see, La ilaha illallah. This is when Allah becomes their first priority. And this is when Allah Azza wa Jal becomes so important to them that they are able to make their decisions according to what pleases Allah and what takes them on the straight path. So one time there was a parent who, at, you know, for whatever reason decided that they will not be able to send their child to the school. And subhanAllah, this similar incident happened here at Al-Huda school here, and a similar incident happened at the Al-Huda school in Pennsylvania, our other branch, in Harrisburg. So in, here in College Park, the parent told the child, you know, we're not able to afford it, and you know, we'll have to put you in the public school. And you know what the child said? The child said to his parent, but you know, mom, the teacher in the public school is not going to remind me to pray. They're not going to remind me about Allah. You want me to forget about Allah? And at that time, the mom, the parent decided, this is it. And would you believe, brothers and sisters, that when that parent, when they considered La ilaha illallah, when they applied La ilaha illallah, when they internalized and lived Allahu Akbar, Allah who is indeed Akbar, took care of them, their rizq, their sustenance increased. They got an increase in their salary such that they were able to afford. You see the greatness of Allah. You see how Allah is Akbar. And in Pennsylvania, when that child came to the teacher and said, teacher, you know, I had a very sad face, very sad with a heavy heart, and he told the teacher, you know, my parents said, I will not be continuing here. And the teacher could see the sadness in this child's face, and she told him, honey, just make dua to Allah. Because Allah can control everything. Allah can take care of things. Brothers and sisters, this is, as we say here, this is deep. Don't take this lightly. This is deep that this teacher tells the child, make dua to Allah, He will take care of you. And the child immediately has a smile on his face and says, I will do so, teacher. 3 years later, the teacher is telling the story that Allah Azza wa Jal made things work out that the child is still at the school. You see the message that the child gets. La ilaha illallah. That there is no one who deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Brothers and sisters, I'll conclude with this last one statement. Very powerful, very amazing. From a brother who many of you may know, his name was Badr Salih. And Allah Azza wa Jal so willed that he was very ill with cancer, and a few years ago, many of you may have prayed his janazah, he passed away. But before he died, he said something very profound and very powerful to his wife, who now still works at the school. And he said, he told her, look, make sure that these children go to Al-Huda school. Because he said, look, don't just look at the infrastructure. Because the infrastructure, what you see in front of you, the physical building and everything, that may look minimal. That may not look as you see outside, but he said, make sure that you look beyond this infrastructure, because when you do look beyond, you will find nothing but a gem in it. And that gem, brothers and sisters, is nothing but La ilaha illallah. And the application of that in our day-to-day lives. Brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all of us internalize La ilaha illallah. That Allah Azza wa Jal gives us the courage and the ability to apply La ilaha illallah in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we say Allahu Akbar in our salahs every day, that we are able to say it with a heart, with feelings, with emotions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enables us to put those emotions into motion in our day-to-day lives as we aggrandize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah azza wa jalla helps us make Him our first and the most important priority. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع
لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم.
الله أكبر.